Reading each of you in the name of Jesus this morning. I'm going to be here with you all at Pine Creek and a greeting greetings from the Light of Truth congregation in the Bronx. You visit us there when you have the opportunity. Actually, an introduction to this morning's message that led you to open up your Bibles and turn to Peter chapter 5. Two verses, one verse here and one verse. It sounds like the one you had an introduction.
What?
Peter chapter 5. Verse I've chosen to introduce my subject is verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I'm just going to read that verse in the Amplified version. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxiety, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Turn now to Psalm 55, verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. This morning, very well introduced my message, and I can feel the Lord again blazing in our services. My message title is God Can Take Care of You. We already heard about God's provision for hundreds of people and applied it to our life, and we're just going to continue some of that this morning. I don't know if you're like me, but I trust there's probably a few of you here that are. In some ways, and sometimes we can be overwhelmed with life or circumstances of life or experiences we're going through. Sometimes there's one or two things that you just really wish could change in your experience, or you just wish that God would just come down and miraculously do something in your life or the life of people you love. Prepared about. And I just want to think about God's goodness this morning, the reality of God's goodness throughout time. Push our hearts to be enduring and to wait and to hope for and to confidently expect and rely on God's goodness, and to remind us to cast our burdens upon Him and let Him there. Psalm 27, 13, 14 says this, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes in life, you can be at the point where you feel like you're going to faint. And there's a choice. Am I going to see God's goodness in this situation or not? Now, much of this morning's message is going to be relying on your Bible knowledge. I have a lot of references, but I'm not going to be turning to a lot of them for sake of time because I have way too much time to cover a little short time here this year. And so I feel like I'm painting with a broad brush, but I think you can follow along if we move along together. It's just a simple layout, and it's just a call to remembrance that God can take care of you. And I know I'm speaking to a group of people here that already believes that, but my first main point in that message is just simply this. And it's just a simple outline. Areas God in which God can take care of you. Number one, areas in which God can take care of you. And as we move along, I'm just going to give examples from the scripture of how God did it for his people in the past and how he will continue and his promises Areas God can take care of you. God can take care of you physically. Think of the area of food and raiment. And they already heard the devotions about how God provided food and water for millions of people, the children of Israel. He did it for the multitude that flocked out to Egypt when they were hungry, miraculous provisions. And then he did it for the ones, Elijah, by the brook. And it says the ravens brought him bread as he every day there in 1 Kings 17. And he told us to pray, give us this day our daily bread in Matthew chapter 6. She says that. Can you imagine if you were Elijah and you were told to pray that prayer? If you were the ones sitting by the brook waiting for the bird to come with food for you that day, I think that prayer may have taken on some new meaning. She kind of called him. Thank you for praying that. God's the one that provides the seed to sow, and he's the one that provides the increase, the rain, and the sunshine, whatever that seed needs to grow. You can read about that in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10, and you can just drop some of these verses down and look at them later, because I don't have time to turn to them all. Areas in which God can take care of you physically. Luke 12, 24, he told us this, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And by implication, God can take care of you. He can take care of the birds. How much more can he take care of this audience and the people you know? Thinking about another physical area, these areas of health. And God may struggle there, and God can take care of that. He healed Naaman and leprosy in 2 Kings chapter 5. He healed the 10 lepers. Jesus healed the 10 lepers. He brought the widow's son back to life. He raised Lazarus from the grave. He extended Hezekiah's life for 15 more years, and he was near death. 2 Kings chapter 20. God can take care of us financially. You find there are financial difficulties in life. One time, Jesus and his disciples were accosted for not paying their taxes. And Jesus said, go catch a fish and you'll find the money in the mouth. You'll pay the taxes. Matthew 17, verses 24 to 27. Areas God can take care of you spiritually. Number two, think about the area of our salvation and all that God has provided for us there and how God works to bring salvation to specific people in life. Think about the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and how God directed Philip to go and help that man find salvation. Think about the story of Paul and Silas in jail and how God used them to bring salvation to the jailer and his household. God do that for you, and God do that for the people that you pray about, that you want to come to believe in. God provides direction to life's deepest questions. This world is full of questions. You heard an invitation to go on to New York with Jesus here this morning. And if you would do that, young people, you would probably meet a person or two that has some really interesting questions. Why am I here? Who created me? What happens after I die? How can I find meaning in life? Some of these deep questions that people are searching for, God provides answers to them. God provides spiritually for us in temptation or trial. We have the promise in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape and be prepared. Something 2 Peter chapter 1 finds God's provision for us to be one enlightened. Second Peter 1 verses 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these he might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has given us everything that you and I need to live a godly life. And it talks about the exceeding great and precious promises. And a little later, we can look at a few of those promises. I have some of them listed a little later in my notes. But this thing of escape from sin and escape from the Lord of the world, God has provided for that. Another area, moving on my notes, another area in which God can take care of you emotionally. Do you ever feel fear or stress or weakness or weariness or having your feelings get hurt? Jesus extended a simple invitation in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God can take care of you in your fear and your weakness, whatever your emotions are, that are not productive. Second main point of the message. Let's think a little bit now. Who can God take care of? Who are the people that God can take care of? People God takes care of. Think of the ones you love the most, and then those who struggle for love. Yes, God's got them. He got your families. He sent an adopted mother for Moses. He sent a lamb in the bushes for Isaac. He promises us in Matthew 18:10 that he can take care of your children because he says that their angels are always beholding the face of the Father. That's my children. What about your friends? You can read the story in the Old Testament of David and Jonathan and how God took care of that friend today. You can read the story of Daniel and his three friends in Daniel chapter 1. And they besought the prince that they could not eat the king's meat. And God took care of that situation and let them eat the diet that God wanted them to. God can take care of your neighbors, your acquaintances. You can take care of your enemy. Work in their hearts, you can bring them to repentance. And sometimes he does it for us to show them what. I think of the story the story of Naaman and how did Naaman know where to find healing? It was through his slave girl. Can you imagine being a slave and a captive in a foreign land? Would I have the love, whatever it took to tell my oppressor where he could find help? God can take care of your co-workers, your employees. The story of Nehemiah and building the wall and the opposition they faced. And the workers wanted to quit. And Nehemiah said, no, God's going to take care of us. And they kept on building. God can take care of your church. And your church family, he delivered Peter from prison when the church was together praying. You can turn to Acts chapter 9 and read the story of I think they called her Tabitha or Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. And it says that she was the disciple who was full of good works, and she passed away, and the church was sad, and Peter came along and raised her back to life. because they need prayer in the church. I don't understand it, but it's just another example. Stories how God can take care of us. Third main point of the message. I'm not sure if I have this word right correctly, but I have ways God may use to take care of you. And I'm just thinking about means that are at his disposal. You know, when we want to go accomplish a project, we try to figure out what resources we have. And I'm just thinking of some of God's resources here. One of the resources he uses a lot is his word, his promises. I said we look at some of them. He made a promise to Noah and his family when they walked off that ark. He put that rainbow up there in the clouds that he was not going to destroy the earth again in that way. And he's continued to make promises. I'm just going to read down. I've got about 6 or 7 of them here. Promises that I picked out. His promises bring comfort and rest. He is able to make all grace come to you in abundance. 2 Corinthians 9:8. He shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Psalm 23:1. They that seek the Lord shall not lack any beneficial thing. Psalm 34:10. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, I am with thee, be not dismayed, I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 58:11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul and draw it, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Proverbs 10:3, the Lord will not allow the soul of the righteous to famish. God may take care of me through his word, and there brings conviction. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's Hebrews 4:12. Jesus' word calmed the storms when the disciples were there and Jesus was sleeping and he woke up and he said, peace be still. And this was. God's word brings direction and clarity. The word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, as Psalm 118:105. And then in verse 11 of that same psalm, his word brings protection from sin and temptation. Thy word have I hid in my heart, so I might not sin against thee. Ways God may take care of you. Number two, he can take care of you through his miraculous presence. He did it for the disciples when he came walking on the water in the middle of the storm. He did it in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrews. It was used to bow. And the king said, look, there's more than that in there. And it's like the Son of God. And they came out of that furnace and the smell of fire was not on them and their clothes were not singed. Jesus appeared through locked doors to dispel the doubt of Thomas. Is there anyone here that is doubtful this morning? God can take care of that. Thomas said, my Lord and God. And Jesus said to him, and he brought you into the wounds and all of the flock. God can take care of you. By an angel, point number three, he did it to shut the lion's mouth to save Daniel. He sent an angel to wake Peter up and tell him to walk out of the prison. One night, he sent an angel to kill 185,000 enemy soldiers back in 1935. He sent an angel to interrupt Pharaoh's donkey. And many, many more. God can be the church number four for his people, those that are being obedient to the promptings of the Spirit. I really refer to the account of Naaman's servant's role that helped Naaman find healing. Already referred to the account of the church of the praying and upon him with the Lord through it, and already referred to Philip being obedient and taking him to the Ethiopian. We think of the account of Peter obeying the vision that he received and took the gospel to Cornelius and opening up the door to the Gentiles. And I'm sure you can sit here and tell the story the way God has provided for you. I was sitting in, my wife and I were sitting in the marriage center in the Lorna Penn Valley earlier this year. And there was a older couple there, and a river-brethren people that were speaking that weekend. And they were telling story after story of how God took care of them and their journey. And I'll just recount one here, how God can take care of us through his people. This is a secondhand story. I'm telling it as they told it to us. Their experience. They were in a small business. The business was almost stale, yet failing. Very stressful time financially. And had a lot of other needs. And one of the particular needs was a large dental need that the wife had. She went to the dentist because of some pain in her mouth. None of us like to do that. And she came away with a quote for multiple thousands of dollars for what repaired were needed. And she came home that day discouraged and said, I can't give this quote to my husband. He can't take it right now. The business is failing. And so she said, I'm just gonna hold on to it for a while. We won't talk about this. And so she did that for a number of weeks. And one morning she woke up and something prompted her. Day was the day to show the paper to her husband. So she did that at the breakfast table when they were discussing this, how they could meet his needs, the work that needed done. He goes out to work out of the shop, and about this morning, one of the brothers from church walked through the door and answered. Brother said, God told me to come over here with a family with passion in the day. Why? And but it's who here it is, it's yours. Another brother turned and they talked to her, but turned to walk out the door, and the brother said, by the way, I read a reference on the front of that envelope. And I'm almost embarrassed to lay it there because it doesn't make sense. But when I feel the spirit prompting, I try to obey it. He said, you can look up the reference after. I mean, I don't know what it means. Talk about God providing for his people. The verse, the reference he wrote on the envelope was Psalm 81, verse 10. Probably none of you know what the verse says, but it said, open wide thy mouth and I will fill it. You sit here and we can laugh at that, but yet it brings tears to my eyes because that's how God can work. You know, the brother had no idea when that was filled. He didn't know that the money he stuck in the envelope was exactly the amount that the quote was. But God can take care of us. God can take care of us. Moving on, number 5, through divine miracles. Sometimes we call this coincidence. Maybe it's divine appointments, but he did it for Gideon with signs of confirmation in the fleece. One morning the fleece was dry, and the next morning it was wet, or the other way around. Miracle. He did it for the widow's pot of oil that multiplied so she could sell and pay her debt. That's 2 Kings chapter 4. He did it for Elijah. I refer to the story of the ravens. And immediately after that, he sent Elijah to another, I believe, of a widow, and their oil and meal did not run out for the remaining time or that the famine or the rain wasn't falling on the earth. He did it with the 5,000, the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, and the 12 baskets left over. He did it for the children of Israel when the sun stood still for the battle, or the time when Moses did not give the air commanded the victory. 9 years ago. 9 appointments. I just had one of them yesterday. We were working on a school problem there and then running to Home Depot for some supplies. And we're going to be moving here a little later this week. And going down to Royal Home Depot, I was stoked. I wanted to get done. I wanted to get on the road. And so I'm pretty good. And I said, excuse me to this lady because I wanted to go past Burner Park blocking the aisle. And she looked at me and she said, I think you're my new neighbor. And I had never met her face to face. I'd seen her across the fence. But anyhow, we stood there in the aisle of Home Depot and had a 10-minute conversation, very, very good conversation with what was reported to be a potentially difficult neighbor. And I don't know why I was in that aisle of Home Depot at that particular time. I was buying something unrelated to the project we worked in. But the divine appointment is how God can use encounters like that. God can take care of me. What's at his disposal? Last point, number 6, is by acts of nature or natural disaster. Think of the time he used an earthquake to release Paul and Silas prison. Or the time he sent a cock to crow to convict Peter. The time the wind blew all night and made a way from the Red Sea. Or the priest's feet that hit the Jordan and it parted. Or the fish that came to swallow Jonah and later spit him up and dry land. And later a gourd or a vine fruit gave Jonah shade. One time there was ditches that were filled with water that looked like blood and scared the enemy. That's in 2 Kings chapter verses 16 to 24. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 32, Hebrews 11, 32. For what more should I say? For the time was failed me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of Samuel, the prophet, two true faiths of two kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of the lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial, cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. And others stopped reading there. And I just want to say God took care of them all. And is God's arm any shorter today? Are his ears part of hearing or too cruel of glass? May I repeat what the king said in Daniel chapter 3:29? There is no other God who can deliver us. In addition, God can protect and provide for you and your family and the work for the purpose he has called for you to do. God can do all this and infinitely more, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He never runs out of options or encounters something he wasn't planning for or expecting. He can do all this and we can absolutely trust him because of the things he cannot do. He does not change. He cannot lie. He cannot make a mistake. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, but whose is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't even change position, and he never casts a shadow. Will he take care of you? Will you allow him to? You're there in Luke chapter 11. Turn it over to chapter 10. Just thinking about a few things, our response to God's provision, our responsibility. One of them is contentment. You can look at 1 Timothy 6, where it tells us to be content with food and raiment, and tells us contentment with godliness and great gain. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6 say this: let your conversation or your way of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Contentment goes along with faith and trust. I think we already heard some about that, but turn with me back to chapter 11 again in Hebrews, the verse 6. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Faith and trust, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't know if there's any cheaters here, probably is, but if you teach diagramming, I don't know how, I've been out of school long enough, so I don't know how you will diagram that sentence. But he that comes to God must believe that he is. And our response is to say, he is what? Remember in the beginning, I said there's that one thing in life sometimes we'd like to change, we'd like God just to come and flip the switch and make the situation how we would like to see it. Some of us more than one. I just want to say, when you encounter that thing, when you encounter that hardship, when you encounter whatever it is that you don't have power to do anything about, remember this: God is here. Wherever you are, whatever you are facing, God is with you right then and there. God is here. That's how I look at endeavor. He that comes to God must believe that God is here. God is with me. God understands and knows what I am facing. And he can take care of me. And then the words of Jesus: oh, you little faith, why do you bear no doubt? So I'm just going to encourage you, it wasn't rapture not here, but I'm going to encourage you to continue to seek God, continue to ask him, continue to obey him, continue to wait on him, continue to be thankful, and continue to worship. As you're waiting, and as you're remembering that God is here, as you come to God, as you read his word, as you sing the songs of the redeemed, as tears come to your eyes, as you take time just to be still and knowing, God is God, and God can care for you. That's the only thing.